Welcome to Empowering the Working Mom Podcast, the place where working moms find inspiration, support, and practical advice to thrive in their professional and personal lives while aligning it all with God. I'm your host, Latika Bynes, a fellow working mom on a mission to empower you to embrace your God-given strength and resilience of balancing work and life while leading you to align it all with God. Twice monthly, we'll delve into topics that matter to you, from time management, advancing your career, mental health, your relationship with God, and so much more. Get ready for insightful interviews with inspiring working moms, experts, and thought leaders who'll share their wisdom, their experiences, their prayers, and their Tabitha moments. Because together, we can break down barriers, defy stereotypes, and rewrite the narrative of being a working mom. So get ready for your empowering moment. Welcome to the Empowering Working Mom Podcast. Welcome to the Empowering Working Mom Podcast, formerly the Latika Bynes Show. I am your host, Latika Bynes, and I'm excited to come to you this week to give you an empowering moment to help you take the initiative and align your work-life balance and career vision with God. Today, we have a special guest empowering you with the moment that having it all never meant doing it all. Joanne Skolnicki is an expert on how to ease the tension between women's ambitions and their family lives. She has taught thousands of brilliant women around the world how to re-engineer their lives so they can play big both at work and at home while protecting restorative time for themselves. I love that. Together with her husband of 23 years, she is a proud parent of three dynamic teens. And with her signature Brilliant Balance Blueprint, she teaches women how to make room for themselves in the middle of their very whole lives. I'm so excited about this conversation. But before we get into this episode, I want to first mention how you can support Empowering the Working Mom Podcast. First, follow and share this episode with the first working mom that comes to your mind. And then when this episode is over, go to empoweringtheworkingmom.com to stay updated on our events, our online community, and other initiatives to support you. Now, let's get into this episode. Welcome, Cheryl. I'm so excited that you are here. You are here in the podcast. I want to say thank you so much for joining us. It is such a pleasure to have you here. Please tell us a little bit about you and Brilliant.
Well, sure. And first of all, thank you for having me on your show. It's always such an honor when someone shares the airwaves with you and your audience. So I'm thrilled to meet everyone. I would just give as a bit of background, you did such a good job in my intro and bio. I mean, what do they really need to know? But maybe a little bit of the backstory. So today I run the Brilliant Balance Company professionally while raising three kids and keeping my household afloat. But before that, I spent 15 years working for the Procter & Gamble Company in sales and marketing roles. And that's really the kind of work I thought I would be doing my whole life. I went to work for P&G straight out of college, got my graduate degree while I was working for them. And so I really thought I was going to have this corporate career. And I loved the chapter of it that I did have. But about 15 years into that career, I just knew that I wanted to do more purpose-driven work. It wasn't anything about the company or the organization. It was more, or really even about work-life balance, ironically. It was about wanting to make an imprint in the world through my work that felt really aligned with like a change that I wanted to see in other people. I wanted to be truly of service and help people make changes that I thought would be meaningful in their lives. And so that was what led me to leave that chapter of life and start this one. It coincided with my third pregnancy. So I had two children already. I was expecting my third when I left. And I started the first chapter of my business while I was expecting my youngest daughter. And then it's just kind of gone on from there for the last 14 years. So today I live in Cincinnati. And so I never thought I would be here. I didn't grow up in this part of the world, but this is where we settled because of P&G and never left. And you know, we've built a life here now. Like, I've been here a long time. My parents moved here after we started having children, and they're in our daily lives, which is such a blessing. And you know, my mom nannied for our kids when my kids were little, and I still talk to her every day, and she's in my kids' lives every day. And that's just such a wonderful way. You know, I didn't know that would happen for me, but it really has been such a blessing that they've been continued to be in our daily lives.
That's yeah. So beautiful. Isn't God so amazing?
Yes. Oh. Yes. Oh, you know, when I was little, I just yearned for a sibling, right? I wanted a brother or a sister in the worst way and never got one. But now at the other side of that story, I look at how beautiful it is that they've been able to be devoted to my children and to me. And I didn't have to share that with any sibling. So it somehow it all gets worked, you know, knitted together for good.
It does. Oh, that's such a blessing. Oh, what I would give for my mother to come just be near me.
I know. I don't take it for granted. That's for sure.
Oh, that is beautiful. Oh my goodness. You know, I love your story of how you realized while you were working in such a reputable organization that there was more.
Yeah.
That there was more, and that it was okay for you to have purpose and go after that purpose. Mm-hmm. And we see that now in society, you know, where there's so many women who we're saying it's this era of female leaders. And we see so many women who are, I mean, we have the highest amount of women who are entrepreneurs or business owners. They're doing some amazing things around the world. But what have you noticed as we're looking at this new era or time of female leaders around the world?
Yeah. I mean, it's such a great question, because this era, this generation of women really is the first generation of women that was told from birth that we could have all the things, right? We could be whatever we wanted to be for the first time really ever. You know, my mom regularly tells the story that she had probably 2 to 3 options professionally, broadly speaking, right, when she was coming out of high school. And she was the first person in her family to go to college. She went on to be a teacher. And that was one of just a limited set of options. And yes, there were exceptions, of course, in her generation of women who went on to do really more unique things, but teachers and nurses and, you know, secretarial work, those were predominantly the kinds of careers that women were going into. By the time I was growing up, and I was born in the mid 70s, I was absolutely promised that I could have it all, right? I could go, I could have whatever. I probably thought I was going to be the president at one point. I mean, I think we all did. You know, it was just a fundamental, like, belief that we could have whatever we wanted. And I think for most of us, that definition of having it all was pretty universal of like, I'm going to have a big job. I'd like it to be financially rewarding. I'd like it to have some kind of prestige or power. You know, I'd like to have a family that I also lean into. And I want to be in a position to take pretty good care of myself. Those things seem to be like universally the definition of having it all. And I know that there is, now I know, there's variety in that. I don't think I knew that when I was, you know, growing up and coming up and following that well-trod path. I really think I believed that there was a prescriptive path to follow in terms of that, you know, that sort of pot of gold at the end of the rainbow that I wanted. So I think that this era of female leaders who are emerging today, who are in power today, that's kind of, sometimes I say, the soup we were cooked in, right? I mean, that's what we were just exposed to in the media, in schools. And I think everyone thought they were doing us a really big service. And they were, right? In many, many ways, they were, by saying we could have all the things. So I think it's the first time in history that women have really been able to embrace that, but it hasn't come without cost, right? And I think that's where my work starts to intersect with this movement.
That's so good. It is. There is a cost to that. There is a cost. And it was a call for our parents.
Yes.
And for our grandparents, you know, for our mothers who, you know, grandparents did stay home, or our mothers that stayed home. You know, my mother, like yours, is still a school teacher, mm-hmm. you know. And so there was a cost, you know, for her being a school teacher and having five kids,
yes.
you know, like, and my dad being a cop. There was a cost mm-hmm. to that. But again, like you said, that growing up with that gave me the, and my sisters too, the opportunity to see women do so much more than what we've read about in our textbooks or what our grandparents have taught us. So I absolutely can see that, mm-hmm. and definitely see that. But as we think about this era, and like you said, the cost, what do you think has been the challenge that working moms have had to encounter? Because now they're leaders. It was one thing for working moms to be in the workforce, but now they're leaders, they're executives, they're principals, they're doing some mm-hmm. major things in society today. Mm-hmm. But again, there's a cost and there's a challenge. What do you think
yes.
that is?
Well, it's in a way, I feel like it's kind of a duh moment for those of us who hit this realization. We're like, how did we not see this coming? Right. But the compression of time is the biggest cost. The pressure that's placed on our one finite resource. Like, truly, there's like one finite resource in the world, and that's time. And we've just created this massive pressure on our time, on our ability to manage our time well. And that, to me, this is where I spend all of my work, is honestly just trying to grapple with our relationship with time and figure out how we're going to still have all these things that we wanted, right? Because I do believe my career is so fulfilling to me, Latika. I would not want to not have it. My family is so fulfilling to me. I love that I'm a mom of three and that I have a husband and a household. Like, this is really enriching, important parts of my life. And I want to continue to take great care of myself and have some space to do that, right? I want to work out. I want to spend time with girlfriends. I want to read. And figuring out how to fit that puzzle together seems to be the part that has been the most vexing. It's not deciding, do we want it? We want it all, right? But figuring out how are we going to manage it now that we have it is crushing. And you know, it's just a history lesson. You think back on how did we get here? Well, historically, you had one or the other, right? We had women who were home raising families, giving their full time and energy to that. And we had women who were working because they didn't have families. And this notion of putting them out. And by the way, we had men working because someone was at home, right, managing the family. So this generation, and maybe our mothers to some extent, were trying to navigate, how are we going to put the time and energy into these careers that are fulfilling? My mom loved being a teacher. She was so good at it. And she also loved being a parent. And we talk about this a lot, because the expectations on how you were going to parent and how involved you were going to be in your children's day-to-day lives, and candidly, even how connected you could be to those children because of the technology that was available at the time, was fundamentally different than what we are dealing with as modern working moms, right? The technology alone, I'll go on a little detour about this. I have teenagers. They all have cell phones. Those cell phones have texting. They make liberal use of that privilege, right? I am one thought bubble away from being reachable. And there's just that connectedness was not there for me and my parents when I was their age. I was solving those kinds of little squabbles in my day independently, because there wasn't a lifeline, you know, look, I think there's a lot of good that comes from that. I like Life 360 and knowing where they are, right? Plenty of good. But I think that alone is like, boy, we're ratcheting up the amount of like their ability to infiltrate the day. I think Pinteresting, right? As a, just to pick on Pinterest, it could be Instagram, that this sharing of, you know, a birthday party is not just a birthday party anymore. It's a competitive parenting event. And so that creates a level of, right, expectation and pressure on sort of each point. So you referenced these women are now leaders. They're not just employees. True. And that brings with it a set of heightened expectations. So too does the way that we are expecting ourselves to parent. And oh, by the way, we're supposed to look like supermodels. So, you know, my mom was happy if she got a walk-in every now and then with a friend. And there was not this, I am going to work out every day in the gym and have an app for that. And like, that just wasn't a part of the culture. So this generation to me, truly, we've just ratcheted up the expectations everywhere. And so the standard is so high that there's simply not enough time to meet it.
You bring up a really good point. Yeah, I don't think I ever saw my mother go to the gym. I don't know where she would have done that, you know, taking care of us and, you know, making sure that we were done. And at this particular time, when she really got into her career of teaching, her and my father were separated.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't even know where she would have had the time, let alone, I don't even know where she had the time to work two jobs.
Right.
At the moment, you know? But it is, there are so many societal pressures that we have adopted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when it comes to making sure that we do look like supermodels, to making sure that we are getting our hair done, and it has to be at a certain place. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And our nails. And,
yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's amazing because we have these pressures, we feel like we have to live up to them.
That's right.
And now that's a challenge for us.
That's right. That's right. So this, the, sometimes I'll say the heaviest thing we're carrying is the weight of expectations. It isn't even the things themselves. It's the layers of expectation that come with it. Because if you think about it, if you're like, if we didn't, my mom never colored her hair. If she didn't have to color her hair or get her nails done, and I have to, right? These are very privileged problems. But the expectations are that these are the things we will do for maintenance. All of the Medi-Spa services that people are getting done on the regular, right?
Yes.
That are time consuming. And then, you know, go back to my Pinterest birthday party idea of saying, okay, if we're, you didn't just make a cake and take a family picture and put it in the drawer to maybe one day be looked at in 20 years. Now, you know, you have to have a reel and it has to be amazing. And each one of those things on its own, I think we could stomach. But when you add them all together, it's like, where is the breathing room going to come from? And I do have an answer for that. I mean, I think that I don't want people to hear this as like it's hopeless. I am contextualizing the situation we find ourselves in. And I think it's why the most regularly occurring memes are like, this is impossible. Right. You know, I can't keep up with this. I feel like I'm a mess. We're almost like competing in the opposite direction now of what a mess we are. So instead of trying to compete for like, look how great I'm doing it, we're almost like reclaiming, look at what a mess this is. And I don't necessarily think that's the answer either. I do think there's a middle ground here that keeps us in a level of agency that we deserve.
Absolutely. There is a balance.
Mm-hmm.
There is absolutely a balance. You're absolutely right. So how do you believe that we can overcome the cost or the challenges that so many of us, that societal pressure that so many of us have adopted that we put on ourselves?
Yes. Well, you know, I really think it comes down to the word choice. Mm. And choices are, it's such a paradox for women. I don't know how you respond to that word. Do you have a positive or a negative response to the word choice?
Oh, I have a positive.
Okay.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
I tell my girl too.
Yes. And I think sometimes the word choice can land as like one more thing I have to do, right? However, to me, redefining what having it all really means for us and choosing which elements of this kind of all-you-can-eat buffet do we want on our plate, that's how we get out from under the weight of this, right? There are, I really love that metaphor. It's one I use a lot, of the all-you-can-eat buffet, because if you think about, no one goes through the all-you-can-eat buffet taking every single thing in large quantities and feels good afterward. Somebody might do that, but they're not going to feel good, right? The way you navigate an all-you-can-eat buffet is you scan the buffet first and you say, what do I really want? And then you get as much or as little of it as you want so that you can walk away feeling good, right? So too, with the way that we're managing this all-you-can-eat buffet of choices. So, you know, we've used a couple of examples. I'm going to circle back to them. If you don't love fancy birthday parties and celebrations, there is no rule that says you have to post that stuff on social. Like, you can do it in as simple of a way as works for your family and move on. And no one is suffering, right? If you don't like getting your nails done or getting your hair, whatever, you can make choices that are simpler and take less time and cost less money, right? And allow you to kind of get that just the way that it's right for you. If you love shopping, great. If you don't, plenty of places you can have clothes delivered to you. Like, you can play this out in virtually everything. Home-cooked meals, you know, the kinds of vacations that you take, how you think about your work day. And it, to me, when I get to coach women through this and we're in a two-way dialogue, the questions I'm asking are always about, does that matter to you? And if she says, no, but I mean, I have to do it, right? My next question is, have you tried? Have you tried not doing it to see what happens? Because typically there's this collection of fears and feelings that are keeping us from making those choices, right? It's, I feel guilty about it, or I'm going to miss out, you know, FOMO about it, or other people's opinions about it are going to kind of get in my way, or, you know, I don't know how to let go of anything. I have to be in control of all of it. And those things can block us from really making these choices. So if I can get them through coaching to grapple with those fears and feelings that might be keeping them stuck, more often than not, Latika, on the other side, it just falls like a house of cards. It's like, wow, I really don't have to do this thing that I thought was required. It turns out it's okay. Especially when those are really time-consuming, repeated activities, just saying no to some of them can be huge, huge. I love that your head nodding at me. It's this great nonverbal reassurance. Yes, because this is relatable to you.
It is. And, you know, I love the analogy of the all-you-can-eat buffet. Mm-hmm. You know, so like for me, I'm gluten-free. So I have to be very particular about what I eat. One thing that I love but will make me sick is eating bread. Yes. That has gluten, that has wheat in it. Mm-hmm. And when it comes down to choices, if I make the choice knowing I'm going to hurt after I eat this piece of bread, but I'm going to sacrifice for it.
Because it's real good.
Yeah. Because it's really good, I'm going to go for it. But it's down to the choice. I have the choice to either feel good or feel really bad for the next 24 hours.
Yes.
That is my choice. And yes. So when it comes down to us having the brilliant balance, us being empowered, working moms, it's important for us to understand the choice, the power is ours. The power is ours. We do not have to succumb. We do not have to adopt. We do not have to believe that we have to do everything that we see.
Absolutely.
It's a choice. Mm-hmm. And I know, like, for myself, when I do see, like, I responded to a woman on LinkedIn and she had a picture of her house. It was really her kitchen counter, and it, just had food from preparing for the kids' lunch and everything. I'm drowning. And I said, okay, I get it. You have multiple kids. I have multiple kids. But the choice was, I decided to delegate to my kids. And I said, kids, okay, you want this in your lunch? Go downstairs and go get it, or make your water bottles, or do this, do this. Like, I don't have the choice. I don't have to do it all.
That's right.
I don't have to do it all.
That's right.
And that's something that all of us need to understand, that we have choices.
Yes.
We have the power within to understand that we do not have to do it all. We have the opportunity to empower others.
Yes.
Yes. So they can do things for us, but it's a choice that we have to make.
Yeah. And if you think about what's underneath that, I love your example of the making lunches, because I will have certain clients who are like, but I love doing that, right? It's an act of service that I enjoy doing for my kids. Great.
Yes.
Then that's a choice you're making at the exclusion of something else. And then, but the person who's saying, I hate doing that. It is the worst part of my day. It never, great. Don't do it. Like, there are actually other ways to doing it. And I think we just sometimes don't like the trade-offs. And what I regularly am telling women, and I would tell the listeners today, is there's not always a zero trade-off solution, right? Sometimes you are accepting the trade-off that what that child makes or how they make it might not be exactly what you would do. Or if you're going to go down the, I don't know, Lunchables path, okay, maybe that's not the very best quality, but you are going to be in charge of the trade-offs as you're making those decisions. And that, otherwise the trade-offs are in you. They're in how you feel, your exhaustion level, your mood, your anger, all of those things are going to be compromised in the name of trying to do every single thing yourself.
Love that. And that's where postpartum depression comes in.
Yeah. That,
I mean, anxiety. I mean, you name it. Because we're trying to do it all.
Because we really we're a human, right? Because we're a human. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think it's for this show in particular, the notion that we are human and we have limitations because of that. And trusting that we were only made to do certain things. We're only made to be able to handle a certain amount. I'm talking all the time to my clients about honoring your human needs. You have human needs. You were made a human. And I think sometimes as working moms, we somehow on an unconscious level think we've transcended that. Like we no longer have human needs, but guess what? We haven't.
Yes, we've become Clark Kent. Yes, absolutely. But no, you're absolutely right. And something that I have to remind myself every day and actually have it on my mirror in my bathroom is that I am a human being, not a human doing. And that's something I had to understand, that I don't have to do.
Right. Right.
I don't.
Those are some deep messages to unlearn, though,
yes.
Right? It's a long unlearning. Yes.
Yes. But when you get it, you get it.
Freedom.
Yeah. Freedom. Freedom.
Yeah.
Freedom. That liberation is important. It's so important. And I love how you said how you talk to your clients about that and understanding your human nature. And one thing that I understand is that as working moms, we serve so much and we serve on a multitude of levels. But there's a time in our life where when we serve, we are the ones that become sick. We're the ones that lack the emotional and the spiritual and the physical healthiness that is necessary for us to continue in the path that we're supposed to be. And so I want to ask you, have you ever had a moment like that? And we call that a Tabitha moment, because in the book of Acts, there's a message in there about a woman named Tabitha who served her community and served. And I can imagine she served until her fingers were numb. It doesn't necessarily say, but I knew she served. But because of her serving and whatever else, she fell ill and she died. But because of her good works, the Apostle Peter came and he resurrected her and she was able to go and serve. But I feel like we as working moms are like Tabitha. We work and we work and we work and we work until one day, bam, we fall flat. Has there ever been a time in your life where you literally needed to be resurrected?
Mm-hmm. I love this question. And I think it's such a powerful reflection for all of us, for everyone listening, to think about where in the name of doing good works have we actually made ourselves sick to the point where we didn't recognize ourselves or where we could no longer really be of service. Because I do think the intentions are pure. I think that, you know, you could argue it's ambition driven, but I think the intentions are often service driven for women. I am reminded of a chapter where my children were very young. And I had left Procter & Gamble. I was working in my own business and I had taken a full-time job with a skincare company. I had a former employer who, a former colleague who called me. He was heading up this company and they needed me to do a big job there. And I was like, it was so tantalizing. And so I said, yes. So I had an infant and I had a toddler and I had a kindergartner and I had a full-time job and I had my company. So you can imagine where the story leads, right? I don't probably need to say anything else. But, you know, while I was physically tired, and my mother will tell you now that she thinks it's the worst I ever looked or sounded in terms of just physical exhaustion, and that makes sense, right? That tracks given given that chapter. I think what really – the reason I would pick this as my Tabitha moment is because I think I was emotionally and spiritually bereft. My there was a day that I remember just yelling at my then toddler son. In a way, he did not deserve to be yelled at because he had not told me about something he needed in advance. Okay. I mean, Latika, he was three, right? He doesn't know advance at three. And I, like, my life had degenerated to a point where I needed advance notice from a toddler about needing something for me to fit it in to this overscheduled, you know, overtaxed life. That was not okay. And I think I had to come to the realization of this is not delivering the human in me that I want to be. This is not the energy I want to take out into the world, right? I am making a lot of money and I'm doing a lot of stuff and it's exciting and I got these kids, but I'm not proud of how I'm showing up. If this is the level that we've, you know, degenerated our emotional regulation to. So I think that was a big wake up call. Shortly thereafter, I wish I could say it was exactly my choice, but my opportunity with that company ended because we took the company into bankruptcy, which is where it needed to be. And I was able to exit that and kind of took one really big puzzle piece out. So having three children in a company where I was in charge of the decisions about work, I think was enough to re-regulate me to a place where, you know, I had a grip again. But it was a cautionary tale. Like that chapter went down for me in my history as you can't do this again. You have to always be on guard, right? So in future chapters, when something took on a lot of weight, you know, if one of my kids had a difficult chapter they were navigating, or if something was happening with one of my parents or in my business, I knew that I had to create an offsetting move somewhere else in order to protect, you know, my heart and my capacity to manage it well. And that, it, again, it's just another manifestation of this idea of choice. But yeah, I don't look back on that chapter proudly. That's for sure. And yet I think I extracted and learned the lesson that I needed to learn from it.
You know, I have a similar story to that. And my now, wow, he's almost nine, almost 9 year old was a toddler at the moment. And I had an infant and, I snapped out on her.
Yeah.
because I'm pressured of commuting, of working, of making sure I get these kids off the bus, making sure I get them out of daycare. I'm
Not sleeping
breastfeeding,
with the
not
infant. Yes.
sleeping,
Yes.
all the things.
Right.
And then, my husband is in the mix, and then he's trying to grow his career at the same time. And I snapped at her. And so I can fully relate to that because it doesn't feel good.
No.
It doesn't feel good. And so now, and then in a moment at that time when I recognized it, now I had to overcompensate for how I was treating her. And it
Yeah.
was like, that's not healthy or sustainable.
No. Right. And again, I hope you were able to be compassionate with yourself. I hope everyone listening, as we reflect on these moments, finds the compassion, because I think they're also expected. I mean, it is a natural outcome of that level of the expectations we are internalizing and placing on ourselves. So there really only is one way through, right? It's to say, if that's the natural and expected response from this level of stress, I'm going to have to lower the level if I want to be able to, move through the world in a way that I'm proud of. It's not like I guess I'm trying to be careful that someone doesn't take away, well, I'm going to have to figure out how to bear all of this and still be, something has to give somewhere.
Absolutely. But it goes down to what you said, choices.
Yeah.
It's the choices. And from both what you and I experienced, we had to make the choice. We had to identify what is it that I need to let go?
Yes.
What do I need to let go? Because this is not working. I don't like this feeling. I don't like the way that I'm treating my own child. I don't like the way that I don't recognize myself. So the choice is I'm going to move in another direction. And that, I think that's the key. It's the choice. We have to make the choice. And that in itself is what is empowering because we now have decided, okay, I'm going to reflect, take what I see and say, okay, we're not going to do that no more.
Exactly.
And we're going to
Exactly.
move on. We are going to move on. I have to say thank you so much for joining us for today's episode. You have given us so many nuggets, so many moments of empowerment. And I just want to say thank you. You have taught us that we don't have to do it all. We really don't. And that we have to let go of perfectionism.
Yes.
We have to communicate what we need. And again, those choices, we have to identify what the choices are, the right choices are for us to make sure that we can be in support and have the support to do what we desire and what also God desires for our lives. So I just want to say thank you for being with us. And can you please tell us where we can learn more about you, what you're doing, and stay in touch with Brilliant Balance?
Yes, I can. I'll tell you what, I also have a great starting place for your listeners. If you're listening to this, you probably like podcasts. And so I've pulled together a playlist of, I have a podcast too, called the Brilliant Balance Podcast. And I pulled together a playlist of some of our episodes that are most related to what I shared here today. And so they can go to brilliant-balance.com/playlist and get that collection of episodes, which, I love that you can be a podcast listener on the go. It fits really well of working moms' lives. Also easy to find me on Instagram. That's probably the platform I'm on the most. I'm at C School Nikki. Little bit of a tricky spelling there, but I'm sure you'll link it for them in the show notes. And you can also find that link from the podcast, from the website once they get there.
Perfect. Perfect. Well, thank you everyone for joining us for this episode. Remember, you can support this podcast by following and sharing this episode with the first working mom that you can think of, and by going to empoweringtheworkingmom.com to stay updated on all of our events, our online community, and also the initiatives to support you. To keep in contact with Cheryl-Anne, make sure that you view our show notes, have all of her social media handles, and also her playlist. So please don't forget to go into the show notes. Well, until we meet again, remember that you are an empowered working mom, and this has been your empowering moment. Go do what thus says the Lord.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of the Empowering the Working Mom podcast. As you reflect on the empowering moments, remember that you are not alone in this journey. It takes a whole village to be a working mom. Discover how big your village is by joining fellow working moms in our private Empowering Working Mom online community, where we continue this conversation and support each other every step of the way. Until next time, you got this because God has you.